Welcome to Worker Movement, a podcast dedicated to the working class, a podcast dedicated to raising class consciousness. This podcast is for you, for us, for the worker.
On today's episode, we're going to talk about the concept of labels and the more general idea of grouping things. This is a little abstract, but here's what we mean. While communicating, we use labels all the time, and most often these labels reflect the name of some identified group. A basic example is saying teachers, which is a collective noun of teacher. Teachers are a group of employees working in an educational setting that guide the learning of others. Teachers are a well-understood label. They very specifically identify a group in an almost universal fashion. If you were to ask the entire population what a teacher was, pretty much everybody would provide an equivalent response. So what happens with labels that don't have this universal meaning? They get co-opted by capital.
You know, you can think about labels in the same way you talk about co-opting from capital. And one of the best examples is breast cancer awareness in the color pink. It gets co-opted, and the same thing with greenwashing, which happens when large corporations just sort of take over cultural phenomenon. It happens right now with the LGBTQ community, and it's happening again with Black Lives Matter. So we talked about that in the last episode. So
the term progressive is the subject of our discussion. This isn't intended to be a big, long historical lesson about the Age of Enlightenment in Europe or the progressive era following the Civil War in the U.S., but the word is kind of rooted in historical context. We'll look at the academic definition as provided by Wikipedia, and it's a little bit ambiguous, so this is the direct quote. In the 21st century, progressives continue to favor, and that's favor with a U, so this is perhaps a European-centric point of view, but that's all right. Progressives continue to favor public policy that reduces or ameliorates the harmful effects of economic inequality as well as systemic discrimination, such as institutional racism, to advocate for environmentally conscious policies as well as for social safety nets and workers' rights, and to oppose the negative externalities inflicted on the environment and society by monopolies or corporate influence on the democratic process. The unifying theme is to call attention to the negative impacts of current institutions or ways of doing things and to advocate for social progress. So based on that definition, are we progressives?
Yes, we are. You know, the idea of the progressive is that they're not happy with the status quo and they want a little bit of change. That's what I look at it and how I talk about it. It's the idea that, you know, you don't like the fact that the ozone layer is being depleted in the 90s, so you want to do something about it, so you support banning certain refrigerants, right? You're progressive in that context. You don't want to talk about, you know, what an abortion is, but you don't want to take away a woman's right to choose.
So there's nothing in this definition that is particularly offensive to your political sensibilities.
No, except that the shitlibs, which is another label, always seem to adopt it and say they're progressives. They always say, like, oh, look at me, I'm so progressive, but all they're really doing is they're talking about the fact that they can get Starbucks now in Target and not have to wait in the drive-thru.
So when I say progressive in the political context, sort of in a popular culture definition, what does that mean?
It can mean anything, really. It can mean that you are pro-environment, right? What does that mean, you're pro-environment? Well, it can mean anything. It can mean that you are anti-ocean pollution. Or it could mean that, you know, you believe in offshore drilling, but as long as it's done safely. Those are the broad strokes of progressive. And it gets hijacked by capital, like you said earlier, because why? There's no clear-cut definition. There's no leadership on the left that says, in order to use the term progressive, here are the 65 things you must check off.
In the context of the Democratic Party, what sort of subsegment would be defined as a progressive?
You know, we can talk about any part of the party, but I guess you could say the liberal. I guess you can say the Greens of the party. You can say the environmentals. You can say the pro-choice wing of the party. You can say anybody that would be left-leaning, even though the Democratic Party would never say they were left because of fear of retaliation from the rights media machine. But you can say anything like, you know, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, AOC, somebody that is challenging the status quo. And as we talked about before, the status quo just means capital wins. So anybody that's standing in the way of capital has been deemed progressive, I guess, at this point in time. What else do you think? I mean, it's a pretty big generalized term in which you can say anything's progressive.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's why the academic definition is a little bit problematic. It ascribes sort of objectives of we want to do things. And like we said earlier, pretty much everything that the progressive definition includes, we generally support. But it doesn't really ascribe how these objectives should be achieved. So this little bit of a deficiency is exploited by anybody to just manipulate what the word means. So we have Hillary Clinton, for example, in 2016, famously uttered the phrase, "I'm a progressive that gets things done." This cycle's equivalent is the repeated mantra of Joe Biden has the most progressive platform since FDR. But do either of those statements mean anything?
I mean, if it comes to things like the internet, Joe Biden's has to be the most progressive because the internet didn't exist. I mean, you could say anything that has progress, like, okay, we're going to pave streets instead of having gravel roads. Yeah, that's progress. Does it mean he's progressive in the terms of leftism? No, it just means that they've increased the livelihood or the standard of living of some people through neoliberal constructs. Like, you know, we're still going to use slave labor in prisons to put out forest fires and not pay them well, but we may take off a year of their sentence because that's progress, right? We may give everybody equal access on the law except for, you know, a group of people that have to serve time because of the rights bill or the criminal justice reform bill that I guess technically the crime bill that Biden pushed through, right, where they stripped away the autonomy of the courts and enforced federal mandates on certain crimes. So that's a power grab, I guess, for the federal government at that point in time. I guess he's the most progressive since Nixon, Vietnam. I don't even understand. I guess FDR didn't have a program to kill people from the skies.
Drones are new. Drones are, you know, much more efficient at killing kids in foreign countries, right?
You don't have to poison them. You don't longer have to do biological attacks they did in South Korea. You can just shoot them from the sky in a tractor trailer somewhere in the middle of Utah.
So as we look at the kind of definition of progressive in this context, it leads to this weird infighting or gatekeeping and people complaining about purity testing in the party, you know, fractures it and leads to factions opposing each other based over what some would describe as nominal stuff. But ultimately, who decides who is or isn't a progressive?
The real issue here for me is, you know, what does the party actually stand for and who is the party going to be? So if the party is meant to be worker first, then the worker themselves gets to define, in my mind, what that label should mean. But if it's meant to be a way for you to just bring everybody in and just get voting blocks, then the party just decides willy-nilly what a progressive is in order to favor themselves for voting. And you see that right now. You see that, you know, maybe, again, the environmental is an issue or jobs is the issue or law and order. Like Biden wants to be the law and order candidate. So now he's appealing to be the most progressive law and order candidate there has ever been by bringing in Katmala, right? So there's all this reform from people who have never wanted to do positive reform in their life for, you know, positive changes to criminal justice, but now they're progressives because they claim they are, because they just ran out in the street and said, look at me, I'm part of the Democratic Party, I'm a progressive individual, because the party has basically hijacked the term progressive to mean the DNC.
So it really doesn't have a definition, right? Like, that's the whole problem.
That's the problem is anybody can be a progressive because you just claim that you are, because again, there is no actual party platform that says, as a progressive, I support these things. I support progress as a progressive in these areas. Now we can make up all types of insanity, like, you know, progress means everybody gets a little bit more money in their pocket, or the grass a little bit greener here, the sky is a little less smog filled, or people get less, you know, sentences for, you know, weed charges, or cops shoot less people in their backs, you know, every year, that's progress. Or the corporations, you know, don't take as much money from you or hoard as much money. Or, you know, there's a lot of things we can say is progress, but unless we have a clear, defined platform, what it means to be a progressive, it can mean anything.
And so we don't have a clear platform for progressive. For example, the DNC right now is defining what the party platform is. So if you say, I am a Democrat, there is an actual document that says this is what the Democratic values are. There's no such sort of document for the label of progressive. And this kind of comes back to our earlier discussion on labels. So if we're going to define a label and say that supporting this label is supporting X, Y, and Z, and then you only support X and Y, you're not reflecting the values of that label. So you're not, you know, a party of that label. And it's not gatekeeping. It's just simply enforcing the meaning of the label. And so these labels need to exist, and they need to have consistent meaning, so that words like progressive can't be just nebulously co-opted by whoever has more media infrastructure to manufacture consent.
Yeah, great, you know, great point about manufacturing consent. You know, what does it mean to be progressive in our point? You know, our view, who we are, right? Expanding access to healthcare, is that progressivism? It is. You know, how do you get there? Is it going to be Medicare for all? Is it going to be, you know, single payer buy-in? What does it look like? And for us as a progressive, it seems like a single payer has to be it, and the removal of all profit motives from healthcare, because it's a worker first priority for us. And so when we talk about progressivism, we're talking about worker first. Anything that stands in the way of the worker's progress is anti-progressivism. So that's the way to look at it. So if it helps the worker, and by the worker, I don't just mean it gives you more money in your pocket, but I mean things like access to education, reduction of corporate overlords on who you are, the less broken windows crimes there are. It really does mean progressive candidacy or progressive motivations. And if you just take a look at the healthcare again, it's how do we make sure that the worker gets the healthcare they need? And again, it's removing the profit motive.
So sticking with this example of healthcare and sort of the last two election cycles on the Democratic presidential primary side, we had Medicare for All on one side, which is largely represented by Bernie, and Warren tried to co-opt it a little bit and then kind of backed off, but whatever. And then the other sort of group were basically just sort of floating this nebulous idea of we're going to expand access to healthcare. And under the definition of progressive, that's reducing inequality. And so that does kind of fall under this kind of nebulous definition of progressive. So great, they can say they're progressive because they support this objective. But then the way they go about implementing this idea of expanding universal healthcare is basically strictly in line with expanding corporate roles in healthcare by enforcing the profit motive. So on one hand, a large number of candidates were saying, I support the expansion of healthcare. And on the other hand, they were saying, but we need to keep the profit motive, which is sort of diametrically opposed to improving universal healthcare, because profit motive is the economic underpinning of why our healthcare system is absolutely terrible. So in those sort of two opposing points, the meaning of the word is destroyed, and anybody that sort of uses it in this context is basically just demeaning the word into nothingness, into the ability for it to get co-opted.
Yeah, one of the biggest fights we had, and I don't know if you guys remember this, during Obama's failed bid at trying to get universal health care and pushing Obamacare, was these Blue Dog Democrats who were trying to force upon them very conservative viewpoints in the universal coverage. Was it helpful for the worker to have things like no abortion in the healthcare bill, even though legally you can't have federal funds for it? No, but it held it up so they could grandstand. Now, in the end, you ended up getting basically coverage that was forced upon you, coverage that requires you to pay an insurance company, and then health coverage that requires you to buy into an at-risk pool. So did they accomplish expanding healthcare? They did. But was it progressive at all? No, it was a neoliberal idea that was opposite of progressive, just like we said before. It was actually, it hurt the worker because they no longer had a choice on whether or not they had to participate in the market. Because there was no universal coverage, everybody paid in a small percentage of their worker wage to get universal coverage.
And a lot of the kind of posturing around this whole healthcare thing, in kind of the 2008-ish time frame, was it was either like a private insurance-based plan, which is what we ended up with, or it was we're going to have a public option, which basically allowed people to buy into a government-offered insurance. So we're not even talking something sort of as progressive as what's being debated now, which is Medicare for All. So like that wasn't even a thing that the party like considered viable or even like part of the theater in 2008. So in that context, progress has been made. I mean, 12 years later, we're discussing Medicare for All, which is single payer, which is actually a better plan than what was discussed in 2008. But at the same time, we don't have it. No worker has decent access to healthcare. Healthcare costs have increased. Corporate profits amongst healthcare providers have also increased. So, like, Obama didn't solve anything related to the existing healthcare problem.
He actually trapped us, because now we've stuck with this super shitty idea of what healthcare is. You're still bound to your employer. You're still bound to paying whatever the employee is ready to get back. You're still bound to having premiums. You're still bound to having deductibles. You're still bound to having high prices for all of your medicines, right? And then now you have a fight. You either have Medicare for All, which was championed by some of the people in the party, or you have the status quo, which is what's championed by Biden. So the party's not going to go anywhere. So now you're stuck with Obamacare. And if Biden loses, you've got Trump, who has been dismantling every single one of Obama's shitty policies that were at least somewhat better than what we currently had or had before that. But they're being dismantled because it wasn't actually codified into law. It was codified into a bunch of executive orders that weren't actually beneficial to anybody. And so you see that chipping away. And so the question then becomes, you know, what's the alternative? And the alternative for a real progressive, and we're going to start gatekeeping right here, is Medicare for All, because that's the only way that the worker gets what they need. Because somebody with Medicare for All doesn't actually have to work if they're handicapped, right? Or unable to find a high-paying job because of the decisions that were made for them when they were early on in their life, whether or not their education was poor, whether or not they weren't actually able to go to the higher levels, whether or not they were not able to actually find a high-paying job, which you get like the best benefits from, right? An average worker does not get the same benefits as your CEO. In a Medicare for All scenario or a single payer, they do, because everybody's on the same playing field.
And COVID has kind of made this divide very, very, very clear, where a lot of people are suddenly unemployed due to the pandemic, and they've lost their access to healthcare, and they really have no means by which they can afford healthcare if they're not employed. But if Medicare for All were a thing, people would have greater access to healthcare, and that would be a good thing. That would be progress.
And we see the idea that states' rights have it. So every state implements Obamacare differently. And we call it Obamacare because he should have to wear this around his neck. It was his piece of shit, right? It's not a slur like the right way does it. But this is his albatross. This is like his. He has to hold this as penance for the terrible years that he put up for us, because we had all this ability to pass real change. And what he gave us, neoliberal ideas like private insurance that's going to help self-regulate a market that makes no fucking sense, because you can't actually shop around for prices because every doctor is in a monopoly in their own network. So again, we take a look at this and we know that it's not a good place for the worker. So we go back to the question of what is progress? What does it mean to be progressive? And in this case, the label for us is it has to be then single payer. And that's the only way that this progressive thing needs to be defined. So, you know, we just got done defining the word progressive with the healthcare portion. But what it really comes down to is that the word progressive is functionally a dead term. It has zero meaning and it should never be used again, especially to label political positions. And that's because there is no meat behind it. Because words and labels need to have meaning. And if they don't, they're just a bunch of words and the capitalists can weaponize them. And they use that because they play to your, you know, belief that these words have meanings. And so when we talk about where we want to be in our political beliefs, it needs to be the intended objective and the path to get there. So if we say we want every worker to have healthcare, right, that's our objective. We want every worker to have healthcare. Well, what we actually really mean is that we want a single payer system that's centrally planned. And that means that that's the path to enactment. And there's no way to dance around this. There's no way to muddle the water saying, this is what I think it is. This is what I think progress is. This is what it is. And so, again, with the word progressive, and I hope that you guys will stop using it or at least turn to it as a bad word, because it is, at this point in time, at our point of view, a dead word.
For future episodes and to learn more about the worker movement, join us at workermovement.com.